We are coming up on 2 weeks since the Air India 171 crash, and even though the black boxes have been recovered, we have no information from them yet. Air India is rumored to be seen partying after pieces of the plane have been moved, as well as the black boxes recovered on the 13th, the day after the crash, and on the 16th, which means one of the black boxes was on the ground for a day and another was on the ground for 4 days before being recovered. Despite the boxes being called black boxes, they are actually orange now to make it easier to find. But questions remain, why did this aircraft crash? And why are we now at day 13, almost 2 weeks after the accident, we still don't have information? Well, there's now new reporting that suggests Air India may be in bigger doo-doo when it comes to air maintenance and the quality of what the company does. This comes at the same time as reportedly Air India executives were having a beautifully shared and filmed office party just days after the accident, which comes across as quite insensitive to the disaster that may have just occurred, though that video to be verified. So what's going on with Air India, and what are we hearing on the latest reporting? Well, first of all, what we've heard is that the black boxes are still in India, even though they're damaged and the Indian Aviation Authority is having trouble receiving data from these black boxes. The recorders remain in India. A lot of folks are expecting these to get sent to the United States so we could finally get a preliminary listen of what happened to Air India Flight 171. The current, I would say, consensus, although it's still speculative at this point, is that the aircraft suffered some form of dual engine failure, which combined with potentially an electrical failure or a FADEC reset, such as the engine computers reverting to a reversionary mode in some form of an electrical surge or whatever, led to both the reset of engine thrust to idle at the same time as the ram air turbine deployed on the aircraft. Whatever happened, it was a cascade of crap. It is highly unlikely that just one thing went wrong here. So this is why it's important to say, no, a hot day doesn't make a plane crash. No, vapor lock itself doesn't make a plane crash. No, one of the FADECs failing doesn't make a plane crash. No, losing thrust on one engine doesn't make a plane crash. Just the ram air turbine deploying doesn't make a plane crash. All of this has generally to do with being the Swiss cheese whole creation function of aviation. So if you haven't heard that before, there's the Swiss cheese model in aviation that we like to refer to. It's basically a way of saying usually in aviation, crashes occur through a confluence or a combination of multiple different failures. And when all those holes in the Swiss cheese align, such as organizational influences, unsafe supervision, preconditions for unsafe acts, and then unsafe acts. When all of these aligns, that's how you end up with an aviation disaster. And unfortunately, Bloomberg is now reporting that the Indian air safety audits conducted after the Air India 171 crash reveal multiple lapses at the airlines and hubs in India. Take a look at this. India's aviation safety regulator found multiple aircraft maintenance lapses in an audit of airlines and airports ordered after the Air India 171 crash. They not only found unserviceable ground handling equipment, such as baggage trolleys in certain airports, which that alone doesn't sound like that big of a deal, right? But they also found failures in maintenance procedures and tool controls. Tool controls, by the way, very important when it comes to aviation because you always want to make sure you're using the appropriate tools to tighten or fasten or to adjust machinery as complex as an aircraft, as well as work order instructions not being followed. So it kind of seems like we just had this crash that killed over 290 people, and all of a sudden, the aviation regulator in India is like, crap, maybe we should go inspect what's going on at the air carriers and what's going on at our airports. And all of a sudden, they find that the air carriers are not actually following their maintenance procedures, their tool controls, or their work order instructions. They've now given operators 7 days to start on their corrective action. They also report that aircraft maintenance engineers, quote, ignored safety precautions and reported snags to be rectified, and defect reports generated by aircraft systems weren't recorded in technical logbooks. This is a lot to basically say they didn't follow safety procedures, and they didn't properly document work that was done or potentially falsely documented work that was done. It's worth noting that when you have an aircraft, such as I have an aircraft, the one that I just held up, I'm a pilot. We have this software called CAMPS is what we like to use. And so we have a do list that tells us, hey, you know, what's next to be done and when. So for example, on August 31st, which is when my nine-year-old actually turns 10, we have to do a visual check of our first aid kit. Okay, so we're like, you know, we just came out of our annual maintenance. Our do list is like nothing. And so it's, you know, these are the checks that we document and follow up on to make sure that our aircraft are following proper and safe procedures to ensure we're actually airworthy. And so what do we have here? We have more failures that inspectors found, including worn tires that leading flights to be held up, flight simulators not properly set up to match the aircraft configuration. This is really important in an emergency situation. You want to know that you've been trained in the same style of simulator as what you're actually flying, so that when you go for the emergency buttons that you have to press and you follow your emergency procedures, you actually know where those are and you're familiar with them. This special audit apparently was announced after the accident, and now there's talk about this aviation regulator suggesting that, hey, we're finding that obstruction data outside of our airports. So typically when we take off at an airport and there's obstruction, there are obstructions, we might use in America something called an obstacle instrument departure procedure. It's basically a way to leave an airport, climb at a certain particular rate, and follow a certain flight path, so that way you can get out of the way of towers, power lines, mountains, various terrain, whatever, right? And so these are really important that they're regularly updated because people build new towers or buildings or whatever. Well, apparently in India, it had been 3 years where some of these had not been updated, which is quite embarrassing. There's also apparently now a new law that's being introduced in India to limit or demolish buildings that exceed height regulations by airports, which is really weird because I don't remember buildings growing when it comes to trying to prevent aircraft from crashing. So the kind of weird how once again the politicians are trying to solve one problem that might not do anything, when it seems like, frankly, the aviation regulator is failing. And not only is the aviation regulator failing, but the actual procedures of the air carriers are pretty sloppy. At least this is what we're seeing right now. We apparently have Air India reporting that it has so far failed to retrieve data from the damaged recorders in the crash, underlying the need for investment into technical infrastructure in India. Great. So we can't even get data off the cockpit voice recorder or the flight data recorder, both in the black box. There's also talk here from this smaller newspaper in India, which suggests that there are deep cracks in the safety culture in India, that Air India has been under scrutiny for repeated safety violations in recent years, particularly since the Tata Sons took over. So some of this, I wonder if is an attack against the Tata Sons. They don't sound very optimistic about them, but then again, Air India did have the accident. A recent Reuters report stated that days before the crash, the Directorate General of the Civil Aviation Authority had warned the airline about operating 3 Airbus aircraft without conducting inspections of critical emergency escape slides. According to the report, 1 aircraft was allowed to fly international routes despite safety checks being overdue by a month. Another was overdue 3 months. The Air India was fined about $38,000, which is a drop in the bucket for a large company like this. For allowing one of the pilots to operate a flight without complying with regulatory norms. And they've had many other rostering issues, including the violation of flight duty time and rest periods. These are huge. You could lose your pilot license if you're operating outside of FAA rules inside the United States. But apparently in India, this was almost commonplace to violate duty times or rest periods or you know, certification issues. This is kind of scary that a lot of this is coming to light only after an accident. But then again, that's how it usually works. Apparently, you also had unauthorized officials signing off on safety documents. The DGCA is being blamed as potentially being understaffed and underfunded thanks to a 91% cut in funding for the civil aviation infrastructure within the country of India in the last year, even though the number of domestic airports has doubled from 74 in 2014 to 147 now. This is likely to be one of the costliest aviation disasters in Indian history, potentially costing $350 million in passenger liability, works out to about $1 million a person, and these are US dollars, and another $125 million for the aircraft's hull and engines. Indian carriers, especially those operating Boeing fleets, are expected to rise by up to 100% for insurance premiums. So in other words, insurance premiums are expected to double because of some of these failures in India, which is likely to increase ticket prices, though potentially only 2 to 5%, or even slightly more than that. There's also talk that senior flight attendants had written to the Prime Minister, to Mr. Modi, alleging that they were asked to resign from the airline for refusing to lie about serious safety incidents involving the same exact model of Dreamliner that ended up crashing, the 171 Air India flight, which was the Dreamliner 787-8. Yikes. According to their June 19th letter, a door malfunction on Air India 129 in May 24 resulted in the accidental deployment of an emergency slide raft after the aircraft landed at Heathrow. The incident, they say, was hushed up by the airline and the regulatory body. And if there was ever a formal inquiry, it was never made public. Another whistleblower claims that his claims were dismissed in 2023. He was actually dismissed in 2023 after raising oxygen supply issues on the aircraft. Now, typically when you fly over 12,500 feet, pilots are required to use or have oxygen. Pressured cabin, obviously the air is pressurized, so you have more air molecules in a tighter place, so you can actually breathe. But if you're flying at 35,000 feet, you've got maybe 30 seconds to put on your oxygen mask in the event of a rapid decompression and the need to rapidly descend, conduct an emergency descent. If you're flying at 45,000 feet, like I do, you're usually looking at only about 8 to 10 seconds to get your mask on, if you're lucky. So you gotta be pretty dang fast and you gotta have enough oxygen on board, which should be enough time for you to actually not only get to a lower altitude, but ideally also land in case there's smoke or some other issue. Apparently this Boeing 77 only had 12 minutes of oxygen reserve, which is barely enough time to make your descent, let alone get to an airport and land. This is scary. These incidents do not appear isolated. In 2024, the aviation ministry reported 23 safety violations by Indian carriers, 12 of which involved Air India and their low-fare version, Air India Express. Air India was fined $127,000. Yikes. There's some other rumors. Well, first of all, here, no time frame yet for when the investigation will conclude into the Air India crash. Again, the flight data recorders were recovered, but they have not been analyzed yet. There are also some rumors about how somebody issued a bomb threat and some kind of revenge plot against some crush that this 30-year-old robotics engineer liked but couldn't get or whatever, and sent an email saying, see, this 171 plot or crash was what we're capable of. And so there's some story about this. This has so far by authorities been declared false. That this is a false claim that she had anything to do with hoax bomb threats around the Air India 171 crash, and she has since been arrested for masterminding one of the most bizarre revenge plots in recent memory, aimed at framing a former office colleague who was not returning her feelings. Really weird. Anyway, this is the latest on what's going on with the Air India 171 crash, and it's quite frankly somewhat scary to think that regulators are potentially failing to supervise what's going on at these air carriers in India. And it certainly doesn't make me feel good about or comfortable with, you know, what else is to come in the future in India. Now, hopefully, better regulation, better supervision, more money into regulating air carriers, and making sure that when violations occur, they're appropriately punished. That's hopefully what happens. Best case scenario, knock on wood, than a disaster like this.
Why not advertise these things that you told us here? I feel like nobody else knows about this.
We'll try a little advertising and see how it goes. Well,
congratulations, man. You have done so much. People love you. People look up to you.
Kevin Paffrath there, financial analyst and YouTuber. Meet Kevin. Always great to get your take.